We proclaim that today, Father. We say you are great. We proclaim that you are glorious. In our feeble words, we try to lift you up. We say words of praise and worship and honor, and we know they pale in comparison to who you are, but yet you receive it. We may not be able to articulate it in the way that we know it is true, but you receive it from us. And we pray that you'd receive it this morning, our praise and honor and worship. You deserve more than we can give. Sometimes we see a picture or get in our minds a picture of what it would be like to be in the place where you are and see you as John saw you on your throne, high and lifted up, and or as Isaiah. And we wonder what we would do. What would we say? We would be undone as Isaiah was, not really knowing even what to say. And yet our hearts would just overflow with awe and wonder. We're thankful that you give us an opportunity, at least in our small way, to proclaim praise and worship to you. We're not willing that the rocks would cry out. We want to be among those who at the name of Jesus would bow, not by force, but because we just choose to honor the one who died for us and the God who sent him for us. We're thankful for this beautiful song. We're thankful for the way it moves our hearts and it focuses our minds and stirs our soul. And we pray that you'd be honored again by the attitude and posture of our heart this morning. We know we have needs among us, and we come before a God like you, and we know that you can meet those needs, financial needs or physical needs, perhaps sickness, perhaps need for direction or understanding, wisdom. We give all those things. This is not difficult for you. We're thankful that you're a God who cares about us. You said for us to take all of our cares and bring them to you and lay them on you because you care for us. An amazing thing when we consider the fact of who you are, and yet you still care about us in the way that a father cares for his children. Your words, not ours. We love that. Thank you for the invitation at times just to come close to you and just be with you. There's times I think you want to show us things. There's times you want to teach us things. And there are times when you just want us to be close. Help us to be close. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing that love in all that you've done for us and the salvation that you provide. We give our lives to you. We give ourselves to you right now. We give our hearts to you right now as we continue to focus on you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, guys, fantastic job. Good job. So, last week, Chad taught. Many of you were here. Some of you that weren't, really need to listen to that. Oh, wow. I see this text I got from Peyton. Do you want me to announce? Do you want me to say that, Peyton, right now? No? Okay. We'll talk with Gary afterwards, Peyton. Okay. So here's the thing that we have come to the conclusion of, and obviously it was a long time coming, and You always hear me say that I have a keen sense of the obvious, and obviously that might not be true all the time. Because here's what we found, is that we really lacked in the area of any kind of introduction at all, or any way of an intentional connection for new people that might come to the church. We have no, you might call it an on-ramp to both serving, to understanding, to fellowship, to being a part of a small group, so on and so forth. And recognizing that we really needed to do a better job about that and with that. So last week, Chad taught what we're going to be calling growth track, what many churches have called growth track. We didn't invent this. We just kind of used another church's pattern. I think this was developed at Growth Track, originally came out of Church of the Highlands. And so we're not doing exactly what they do, but that's kind of what we're calling it. And really what it is a two-Sunday, kind of intentional introduction to the crossing, to the ministries, to the vision, the mission values. So last week, Chad talked about the mission of the crossing, the values that we hold at the crossing, and then just a rundown of the basic beliefs of the crossing. Now, if you were here last week, and really, I think it was recorded, right, Gary? Last week? Okay. Well, part of it was there, so put part of it up. You can go listen to part of it online. Should be able to do that later this week, or maybe already. But you'll notice on that, when he went through the list of beliefs, that it's only like 8 of them. Now, we believe more things than that, but those are the 8 things that we're going to fight about. Those are the 8 things we're not going to compromise on, right? There's other things we could have put in there, but we're not going to put those because one of the things that we value, and this is one of our values, and we'll talk about this more, is the idea of diversity. In other words, we're not just talking about racial or ethnic diversity. We're talking about diversity even in the kind of things we bring to the table, right? So we're not going to compromise on the fact that Jesus is the only way of salvation, right? That's a non-negotiable. But some other doctrinal issues that churches have fought about for years, we're not going to fight about them. We recognize it's easy for me to look around here and after I've talked to you, some of you recognize that you believe things differently than I do. And I'm okay with that. I'm not threatened by that. It's okay. You can believe that, and I can believe what I believe, as long as we agree on the fundamentals, right? And these 7 or 8 beliefs, you can look at them and see them. They're on our website, all delineated out. And so that's the first week. And so if you weren't here, you need to listen to that. And it just gives you an understanding. And here's the reason we're doing it. We decided as a board to do this on a Sunday morning because none of you actually went through this growth track either. And we knew the best way to do it and to get the most people would be, okay, just listen to it on a Sunday morning. And partly it's so that you understand that if you bring someone new, this is what they're going to go through. This is what we're going to ask them to participate in. It'll be on a Sunday afternoon probably, and probably some delicious cold meat sandwiches. We're going to spare no expense at all for the new people. So some delicious Costco sandwiches perhaps. And if you're new, like within the last 6 months, you're going, I'm feeling ripped off. Because if I would have come like after now, then I would get some delicious cold meat sandwiches. Too bad. Sorry. We hadn't figured it out but by then. So, the second week now is going to be, I'll teach the second week, and it'll be basically an introduction as to how you can participate in the crossing, in the body. And obviously we're not going to cover everything, but kind of give some fundamentals. So, that's where we're going to start this morning. So, if you were here last week, you know the mission, and you know our values, and again, as Chad introduced, and you saw as you walked in today, a big empty white wall where there used to be reclaimed pine and wires and pictures. On that wall, at the top of the wall, is going to be printed our mission statement. Okay, so Chad asked last week, how many of you could say our mission statement or repeat our mission statement? Anybody? At the crossing, we exist to what? To take the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world. Okay? And he explained a little bit of what that meant last week. And underneath that mission statement are going to be the values that we hold here at the crossing. You're going to see that in the next couple of weeks. It should go up. It's going to look pretty cool. And we just wanted that in front of you as you came in to see, okay, this is who we are. This is what we're going to value, or this is what we value. And because of that, the ministries that we are reflected here are going to be those that reflect those values. Okay? So if that's you, and you saw that mission statement and those values, and you say, well, you know, that seems like the kind of place I could connect with and commit myself to. What are your next steps? If that's you and that's what you've said, what are your next steps? And the fact is that we've talked about this years ago, and I don't know if many of you were even here when we did that, but we, we kind of did away with the idea of membership. And the reason we did it was because membership conveys privilege, right? Like I'm a member of a social club, it conveys privilege. Like, oh, because I'm a member, I get this. Or, you know, like back in the 80s when they had those members-only jackets. Like, if you had one of those jackets, you belonged, right? And it had those straps on the member. I'm looking around to see if you guys still have those on. Okay, you still have the car. Still. You know, we don't throw anything away. And we think, someday I'm going to fit into that again. I gave up that dream, right? I get rid of my stuff. But it's not a membership which has privileges. Instead, we prefer to consider it as ownership. Because I don't know about you guys, but if you've ever owned a business, there's not a lot of privileges connected with owning a business, but there's lots of responsibility, right? So really, when we consider you to participate with the Crossing, we don't have a formal membership, like you after, you know, whatever, so long you can stand in front of the church and we accept you as members. No. Here's kind of the general idea that we came up with several years ago, was that if you consistently attend the Crossing and give financially to the support of the Crossing, you're considered an owner. We consider you to be eligible to vote if we ever vote on anything, which we don't. But if we ever did, you could vote. So, we'll let you vote in this fall's election as members or owners of the Crossing, okay? But really, that's really what we, whether or not we state it officially, that's really how we consider it, is that if you choose to join with us, you become an owner of the Crossing. And with that ownership comes responsibility. I don't know about you, but a few weeks ago, I had a customer that called me up, and he was really mad, like really mad, on a Friday, really mad about the fact that this handle wouldn't stay on the shower, and I tried to explain to him that Scott had broken the screw off in the handle, but that the thing functioned perfectly, that the handle that actually controlled the water stayed on. This middle handle was for a different kind of valve, which we didn't even have, and that he could operate the shower without that. So what you're saying is you can't help me. So what you're saying is I called you up and it's just a waste of time. Click. I don't know about you guys, but did any of you go down early on Saturday morning to fix that? Did any of you go down? No. Who went down? Not Michael. Not Alex. Not Anhil. None of you. I went down. Why? I'm the owner. Responsibility. Listen, that's how we need to view our participation at the Crossing, is that we're owners, that we have responsibility. We don't have privileges. Now, again, I mean, I guess the biggest privilege is that you get to, you know me. I mean, I guess, you know I'm joking about that. You know I'm joking. So, if you choose to join with us, then we're going to ask you to affirm a commitment to our mission and values. And once you affirm that commitment to our mission and values, we're going to ask you to come alongside us as owners. And here's what we're going to ask you to do. The first thing, we're going to challenge you to serve. It's unhealthy as a Christian not to serve. Jesus said, you want to be great in the kingdom of God? What did he say? You become the servant of all. And so the values that we affirm by asking you to serve, we could say all of them, but specifically, the values that we affirm by asking you to serve are the idea, or are the values of missions and serving, obviously, the value of relationships, which is one of our values. Obviously, when you're serving, you're generally serving with other people. It builds relationships. The value of discipleship, because Jesus said, you know, that's what you could do. If I, being your Lord and Master, have done this for you, you should also do this for each other. We begin serving because Jesus showed us the way. And then diversity. Here's what we know, is that the people who are engaged in the mission or serve in the mission are those people who are engaged in the mission. So if you serve in the mission, you become engaged in the mission. And really, again, whether or not you understand completely, and we'll unpack a little bit more about what this mission actually means, but the idea that we would want to help more and more people know the gospel of Jesus Christ, in a nutshell, that's what our mission says. And we recognize that gospel affects the whole person. So we're going to take the whole gospel. We're going to recognize that gospel is transformative. It's going to affect the whole person. And we want to take that to the whole world. And the whole world means not just out there, but right here. And in Gainesville, and in the school, and wherever. The whole world means everywhere. So serving is part of being a healthy believer. And not only is it a part of being a healthy believer, but it helps keep you healthy. You know that they say idle hands are the devil's workshop, you know? Listen, you serve alongside other people, it's tough to have animosity toward them, right? If you're serving alongside them. And one of the things that serving alongside other people helps is for you to get to know them actually as a person, not just as the back of their head, right? We sometimes misunderstand people because we don't know them, right? We don't know where they're coming from. They don't know where we're coming from. And we get to know people, it helps us extend grace, or hopefully it does, right? So, we're going to ask you to serve. We're going to challenge you to serve. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to ask you to build and treasure relationships. Build and treasure relationships. Growth in churches is more about relationship than anything else. Both your personal growth, but also growth in numbers of a congregation is more about relationships than any one other thing. The values affirmed in this are God's word, diversity, relationships, and generosity. We become generous with other people as we're in relationship with them, and we offer to them grace that they deserve or grace that they need. Maybe not grace that they deserve, but grace that they need. Relationships are essential. I talked to the board about this just last week. If we're not embracing new people or treasuring the relationship with the people that we already have, there's no possible way the church will ever grow. Not possible. If we're not embracing new people, if we're not loving each other, there's little potential for growth. So here's the thing. This is not just something, well, you know, I don't hate anybody. This is not that, right? This is an active pursuit of relationships with one another. Listen, this is not an indictment against anybody, but I can't tell you in the last 12 years how many times that I've heard people say, after they've been here, they've been attending for years, and some new person comes in and they've been attending for 6 months, and they say, now, I'm not really sure what their name is. Listen, this, we don't have a big church. We've never had a big church. How is it that we don't, after 6 months, they say, yeah, I don't really know their name. I'm going, are you kidding me? Now, again, I recognize that it's really easy for me. Like, and Lisa, like, she's the master at it. Usually Lisa meets people in the parking lot, talks to him for 5 minutes, she gets in the car, I say, any prayer requests? Because that's that's Lisa. Like, after 5 minutes, people are saying, yeah, my mom has cancer and she's about to die. Could you pray for me? And it's just her. I recognize that not everyone's like that, but we're talking about a pretty small congregation where we could actually easily know each other, at least know each other's names. But here's the thing. This is active pursuit, active building of those relationships. And don't think somehow, oh, yeah, well, I haven't been here as long as those people. It's their responsibility. Listen, if you leave it up to other people, it'll never happen. Let's just say in our minds right now, or I could do it like this because people love this. Like, I go to a conference and people say, turn to your neighbor and say this. Who hates that as much as I do? I can't stand that. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, it's my responsibility, not yours. Okay, don't do that really. But say that in your mind. It's your responsibility. It's our responsibility. We can't leave it for anybody else. If we leave it for other people, chances are those relationships aren't going to get pursued and built. Go out of your way to prefer others over yourself. That's what the scripture says, right? Go out of your way to prefer others over yourself. So, relationships are essential. The scripture says, put up with each other, right? Bear with each other. I mean, you look around right now, you're going, yeah, I don't know. Some of these people, yes, but not them, you know? I mean, listen, we're smiling, but the fact is, that's sometimes how we feel, isn't it? I mean, just be honest. You know, sometimes it's like, well, yeah, I mean, Chad referred to it last week. Sometimes there's obviously some people we just prefer to hang out with. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is that can't become exclusionary, right? Obviously, there's people we have more interest with or more commonality with. I mean, I had a good friend in my first church in Missouri that we had a lot of common interests. I love hanging out with him. But our wives were like oil and water, you know? Lisa's like, oh, we're not going over there again, are we? I said, Lisa, just do what Jesus would do. You know, because I'm super spiritual like that. But the fact is, Paul said, put up with each other. Put up each other. Bear with each other. He wouldn't have had to say that if we were all perfect. Or if we all like the exact same things, put up with each other. Here's another trick for building and maintaining healthy relationships. It's be quick to say I'm sorry. Be quick to say I'm sorry. Hold a grudge. You know, if you offend someone by something you do or say, say I'm sorry. Listen, husbands and wives, this is a good trick for you. There you go. Building healthy marriages, one I'm sorry at a time, right? I mean, seriously. I don't know if you, I've heard this has happened before. I've not been participant in it. I don't know what it's really about, but I've heard before that people would get angry with each other and then, like, it'd be really quiet in the house for like 3 days. And then at the end of the 3 days, neither one could remember what they were being quiet about. Now, not that that's ever happened in any relationship I've been a part of. Be quick to say I'm sorry. It's not that hard, really. And especially when you actually realize that you're a doofus. And I recognize frequently that I'm a doofus, so it's easy for me to say I'm sorry. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples by the love that you have for another. Listen, if that's really true, right? If it's really true that Jesus said people will know that we're his disciples by the love we have for one another, then doesn't that mean we should build relationships and treasure relationships, especially right here? If that's really true, if we really believe what Jesus said, then that means we need to go out of our way to illustrate that truth, right? Okay. The third thing we're going to do is we're going to provide a clear path toward involvement. And that's something we've done a horrible job of in the past. We believe those values affirmed in that are serving and diversity and relationships and discipleship. We believe that you are valuable. And we believe you have the possibility and the potential of making a meaningful contribution both to the crossing but also to the kingdom of God at large. I mean, you're on the planet for a reason. And that reason, while it may have something to do with your career, it may have something to do with your family, those things are all true. But the fact is, the primary purpose we're here is to bring glory to God, right? We at least say that with our mouth, whether or not we actually say it with our lives. We know that's true. Our primary purpose is to bring glory to God, to advance his cause, to advance his fame, to make him known. All those kinds of phrases that we use all the time about the kingdom of God. And the fact is that we sometimes pull back from that, we sometimes are uninvolved in that simply because we've not been given a clear path toward involvement. So we want to try to do a better job of giving you a clear path toward involvement. So in our church right now, and this is not a comprehensive list, but I just made a list, areas that you could serve in. And that's area of youth. On Wednesday nights, they come. We have a couple of volunteers that are really faithful, but they can always use more. There's possibilities of teaching. There's possibilities of setting up chairs. Well, Carl, I'm above that. I mean, you really expect me to come and set up chairs for the youth? Seriously, could you give me something where I can be on stage? Because then maybe I could be humble enough to do that. I say that jokingly, but the fact is, there are areas to serve where you're not going to ever get any credit. You're never going to be seen. You're never going to be up front. But youth, the area of music and worship, and that's not necessarily be on stage. Let me tell you this. We're trying to provide on ramps to service. And this is just one example in this area alone. Okay? The on ramp to serve on stage that we've established now is through Wednesday night. Okay, so almost every week, Michael and Sierra and Matt and now other youth are joining in. Are providing live worship music on Wednesday nights, and it's been going really well, and the kids are getting into it, and our plan is if you'd come and say to Michael, yeah, I'd like to sing, I'm a really good singer, I'd like to sing on stage, okay, you can come on Wednesday nights and participate there. And here's the reason, this isn't the only reason, but this is part of the reason for that, in that if you're unwilling to serve in obscurity, then it's not likely we're going to put you on stage on a Sunday morning. You know what I mean? Not to say that that's what you're after, but this is, it's almost like a test, you know? And those upfront kind of serving opportunities, people love those, right? But that feeds our flesh many times. Let's just be honest. So that's just one of those on-ramps. So it's a clear on-ramp. Listen, you want to serve? Come on Wednesday nights and help us. Do whatever you can to help us. You can join in. You can sing. And plus, not to say we don't value the youth or that we're just going to throw them whatever, but it also gives an opportunity to assess your talent. Just being honest. So, anyway, youth, music and worship, media. We have need back there. Peyton came down from, if you're as good at Peyton as Peyton at it, we'll welcome you to serve. He drove down from Dahlonega this morning and he has to drive back up for work, but he came down. He actually created these for me this morning. So I was talking to Chad yesterday afternoon and I sent him the presentation. I said, "Hey, I'm going to be working on PowerPoints now." Chad chuckled, as many of you would chuckle if you know that I'm not really. He said, Carl. He said, "Send me what you want on the PowerPoint. I'll get it to Peyton. He can put it in ProPresenter." I said, "Well, does he have time?" He said, "Carl." He said, "He'll do it on Sunday morning when he's sitting in the back." He said, "It'll be just a few minutes." I said, "Well, that's probably good because I'd probably be up to midnight. I'd have 3 slides made. They wouldn't look good, and there'd be no animation or anything like that. Maybe there would be animation, but it wouldn't be intentional." Okay? So, anyway, just an illustration of the fact that there are opportunities to serve in that area specifically. Let me just say this. If we ever want to get to the place where we have more slides for me when I'm up here, it's not going to happen with me. I mean, I'm not going to be the guy that does it, right? So, and we're working on that. So anyway, you can work with the children. There's lots of opportunities to work in the children's area. If you want to work with the children, you say, "Well, I'm not really a teacher." Listen, and every classroom, we try to, in every classroom, just from a liability standpoint, try to have 2 teachers in every classroom, 1 helper, 1 teacher. For now, you can just get in there as a helper, and you can just observe, and you can just help. I mean, some of these kids are unruly, right? We need people to man the paddle. Oh, wait, we don't do that. We don't do that. I wouldn't have said that if there's new people here, Carl. We don't do that. I'm just kidding. Growing up, though, in my school, that's what we had, Mrs. Crockett. So, anyway, areas of service. We have small groups that need hosting, that need leadership, that need building. What about the area of service that we just maybe going to label relationship building? What if that's you? What if you're just good at building relationships? Well, that's a huge area of service. What we could have you do, you could just stand. Listen, you could just stand in the lobby and you could identify new people, you could connect with them, and you could begin building a relationship with a connection with them. I mean, it's huge, really. I know that there are some of you that you think, "Well, I would never want to do that." And there's other people you'd think, "Wow, I'd like that. I'd like to do that because I'm good with connecting with people, and I'd like to be able to face the crossing on their second Sunday." Okay? We'll interview you about that. If that's something you want to do, we'll make sure we have some community connections. Okay? This is an area. Talk to Kathy. You want community connections. There's the reading program. There's the backpack. There's the up in Gainesville. There's the feeding the homeless once a month, right? We're committed to do that once a month. And primarily, to this point, it's been Carl and Kathy's group. Well, all of your group, but it's at your house. That's been doing this. We're going to jump in there with our small group and do that. But listen, there's opportunities. That same ministry, and again, these are just ideas and thoughts, and we don't want to spread ourselves too thin. But if your passion is to help women who are being rescued out of the sex trade, that same ministry that does the feeding up in Gainesville, does the backpacks, they also have a shelter in Hall County for women that they've rescued out of the sex trade. And I think they house 6 women, is that right? 6 women with full-time staff. I don't know what kind of involvement there is there. But listen, those are opportunities. And I'm sure Kathy can provide on-ramps to that kind of thing. International ministry, if that's your thing. You know, this is the thing. I was talking with someone of you last week, and you said, you know, basically your passion is more local, and, you know, that your passion really is in international ministries. That's fine. It's completely fine, right? That we recognize that God lays on each of our hearts an area that he wants to serve. Some may be more focused internationally, some more focused locally. That's we're not going to indict either one, right? We're not going to say one's right and one's wrong. We're going to say we're going to do this together. God has the body of the church. Remember, Paul writes about the body of Christ, and he talks about the different parts being one member, or the different members being many parts in one body. He's saying all of those function together to accomplish what God intends it to accomplish. That's us, right? Some of us have passions or desires or like we really, really want to be involved in these kinds of areas. Well, that's fine. This is the way God made you. Anyway, ministries abound. Grounds and maintenance. You ever think about that? We hire people to mow the lawn, but we don't really hire people to make it beautiful around here. Sometimes it's not, you know, the flowers or whatever. I mean, listen, I'm just throwing some stuff out there, stuff that you could possibly do. What about event planning? We have three major events a year that we put on here at the Crossing. We wanted to be done with excellence because we're inviting the community in. We need help planning those events. And it doesn't just happen in 2 weeks. You know, it's like 6 weeks we have to, or 6 months we have to plan these events. So those are just some areas. We're going to provide a clear path to involvement. Right now, that clear path's name is Chad. Okay? But I'm just telling you, we're working on a better path toward involvement. The fourth thing is that we're going to help you discover your shape. And obviously, the values affirmed are missions and serving, diversity, relationships, discipleship. Each person has a unique ministry shape. Now, there's some people that have taken that shape and they've made an acrostic out of it. We're not nearly that fancy here. We're just saying that God has gifted people, he's given people strengths, he's given people experiences that uniquely qualify them for the ministry that he calls them into. I believe that with all of my heart. That all the things that happened to you in the past, all the ways that God has gifted you, all the ways that God has given you strengths, uniquely shape you into an exact fit, really. You know, What our hope would be and what my hope would be, and again, unfortunately, this doesn't always happen. And for some of you, maybe it's never happened. And I hate that for you. And I want to help that become a lower percentage that could say, I want it to be a higher percentage that could say something like this. After you find your place of ministry, you could say, wow, I was made for that. I was made for this. Right? Because do we really believe that God has designed us and made us in a specific way? Yeah, and sometimes that reflects in our career. Sometimes it reflects in how we've raised our families. But it ought to reflect in how we serve him in the local church. That you could come at the end of a serving opportunity and go, wow, you know, I can just see all the things in my past, all my strengths, all my spiritual gifts, all coming together in one. I hope that can be true for you someday. I'm just going to tell you, that's how it is for me almost every week. And it's not because I'm so awesome, it's just because God somehow, miraculously, brought me to Georgia. And then he brought me to Indian Springs Camp, and I talked to Doug Carter, and Doug Carter said, hey, I go to this church. And we said, no, we don't want to go to that church. And we resisted it. Not that Doug was putting any pressure, because we didn't see him after that. But we came to the church, and through that, then I became the pastor here, and God's been able to allow me to use the gifts, the strengths, the passions that I have to be here. And so I have this great sense of fulfillment. I want that for you guys too, and it can be so. You don't have to be the lead pastor of the Crossing. Listen, many times being the lead pastor of the Crossing is that I feel the way I do in spite of the fact that I'm the lead pastor at the Crossing, right? It's not the position, right? It's not the position. It's being able to use the gifts and talents and ministry opportunities that God's given us. So, I want that for you. I'm gonna help you discover that. And so, obviously, your ministry shape, your kind of unique way that God has designed you, could come from many factors and many areas. It could be come from your upbringing. It could come from the way that you were raised in the church, or perhaps the way that you were raised out of the church. Right, so someone who comes to Christ later on in life is going to have a different passion than someone like me who was raised in the church. It's just going to happen. And there's nothing wrong with either one. It's just the fact that this is how God uses us in different ways. Our personalities, our past experiences, so on and so forth. So we're going to look, and not to say this is an exhaustive list, but we're going to look primarily, and we're going to help you discover, at least in these three areas, who God has designed you to be. The first one, and we've talked about this for years, but really done very little with implementation. We're hopefully going to do better with that. And that is this area of strengths. Now, just quickly, Strengths was a program that was developed by a psychologist who, instead of figuring out what was wrong with people, decided he wanted to figure out what was right with people, and identified these 34 strengths that seemed to be common across humanity, across cultures, and that people have talents, more or less, in certain areas. And if they develop those talents, they can become for them strengths. And these strengths will apply not only in the church, but they'll apply anywhere. They'll apply to your jobs. They'll apply to your families. They'll apply to your relationship with other people, because this is who you are. Now, again, this differs from spiritual gifts, because that's the second area we're going to talk about, is spiritual gifts. And that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we're given at least one of those spiritual gifts that's listed in the Scriptures, right? This is different than that, but we also believe that God has His hand in this as well, in the area of strengths. So, for instance, we have these cards. Roderick's going to be working with us on this area of strength, and John Brewer and myself. And so we have these strengths. You take this test. We're going to show you how to do that. What's the first slide, Peyton? Okay, so this is the book. It's just a short assessment. Gives you top five strengths. Doesn't give you your bottom five, because he found that people are like, what? I can improve that. And you're never going to. Not going to happen. So he gives you your top five, because this is really where you need to live. This is really where you need to work. So here's my top five. Okay? Achiever. Belief. How many of you, and again, as you get into this, you can read the descriptions and you can figure out what this actually means. How many of you would say that you think, I really believe things very strongly? I have a fairly strong set, right? Communication. This is just who God made me before I was ever a pastor. Connectedness. The idea that I believe that God has connected all things together and that all things are working in concert for His purpose. Now, I kind of import my own Christian understanding on that belief. And then the last one is the area of woo. And woo just means winning others over. It means it's a relational thing. It's like Lisa has the same gift. It's like, wow, you know, you can go up and talk to a stump, and in short order you convey value to them because you're interested in what they have to say. So that's just my top five. Isn't it amazing that God, I guess I don't know of another set of beliefs that would be better for me right now where I'm at to pastor the crossing than these five. I didn't develop these. This is just who I am. So this is what we want to do. Go ahead to the next slide, Peyton. Okay, so here's what we're not talking about. We're not talking about hobbies or work skills or athletics or cooking or baking or interior design. We're not talking about physical strength. Take off. Can you take off the X because it says no physical strength? You see there. Can you take that off, Peyton? Do we have that? We don't have it? Okay. Well, it's fortunate you see my head in the middle, and I'm like the skinny one, so that's pretty accurate. And then I actually had to draw on. They actually had to draw. This is Roderick. This is my son-in-law. This is son-in-law love right here. Right, so this is Matt Todd on this side, and this is Ryan on this side, and that's closer to what their bodies actually look like. The one in the middle, the arms, yeah, that's me, definitely, but, I mean, you definitely would have to draw the six-pack on me if you wanted to actually have me a six-pack. But we're not talking about that, okay? That was great, Roderick, thank you. Okay, let's go to the next slide, Peyton. Okay, so here's the strength. Here's the 34 strengths, and I'm not going to take a lot of time to talk about this morning, just kind of hopefully intrigue you. Okay, so the 34 strengths are divided up into four categories: strategic thinking, influencing, executing, and relationship building. Now, it's interesting, as you begin to take these tests, you'll find out that certain people fit in certain areas, certain categories. Okay, so I have several relational kind of skills. Okay, let's look to the next slide. This is just four examples, okay? So here we have Roderick, who is pretty well-rounded. He has strength from each one of the four categories. I have strength from three categories. Michael has strength from one. You ever wonder why Michael and I are so different? I mean, this really, seriously, this illustrates it 100%. Are any of Michael's relational skills? None of them. But it's okay. It's fine, right? This is who he is. Listen, when we begin to understand how God has wired us and made us, it actually helps us to extend a little bit of grace. I don't know if you guys heard this, but at Christmas time, Ryan bought Michael a special bracelet. Okay, so he found it on the Babylon Bee, and he thought, I got to order that for Uncle Michael. It's perfect. And so he gave it to him. And it kind of in the genre of like a medical bracelet. You know, like people wear a medical bracelet that says, you know, don't give me, you know, I'm diabetic or whatever like that. So Michael's bracelet says, do not greet. It's a do not greet bracelet. You know, it's like, I'm going to hyperventilate. If you come up and talk to me, I'm probably going to hyperventilate. Now, we know that about Michael. And the fact is that Michael's very relational once you get to know him and you can talk to him. But listen, I'm not indicting Michael. I'm just telling you, this God makes us so different. And then look at Chad's. He's in two domains. He's got belief, responsibility, deliberative, and discipline. Do you think God could have made any person better to work as an executive pastor in a church than that? I mean, seriously. This is how God made us before we even came together as a group or as a body, and this is what he did because this is who he is. So we're going to help you discover that. The first step is to take that test in that book and then forward your results to Tammy, who will compile them as these have been compiled. And those books are available, John. Do we have more of those? Okay, we have some out there. If you've not taken it yet, Ryan, can you do this? For those of you who have taken it, we have cards for you. If we don't have a card for you and you've taken it, it's probably because we don't have your results. So you need to forward those results. So really, we encourage every one of you to do this. This is to help us help you to identify where you might serve. But this is really about helping you just in your life. This is to help you at your business. This is to help you when you're working at the PTA. This is to help you. This is really to develop you and develop your understanding of who you are. Because this is not specific to the church. This is just specific to humanity. Okay. The second area is the area of spiritual gifts. Now, as I said already, in spiritual gifts, when we become a Christian, we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive at least one spiritual gift. Okay. Some of you probably have already done an assessment. And it kind of identifies what your spiritual gifts are. Now, again, these assessment tools are just tools, right? You're going to answer some questions, and it's going to spit out you a result, and you're going to say, you have spiritual gifts in this area. You might say, wow, that's really true. It might be that you just answered the answers incorrectly, or you kind of skewed the test based on what you wanted to answer the question. So here's what I'm going to say. You're going to go to, can you go to the next slide, Peyton? Okay, not the next one. I'm sorry. The next one. We're done with that right now. Okay, I already said that too. So I get ahead of you. Sorry, Peyton. See, I need a clicker. I wouldn't pay attention to it anyway, but whatever. Here's what I want you to do. Now, this is not a perfect test. I looked at some to find out what might fit us best. Some come from a perspective that we don't have. But this is a basic one. It's a pretty good one. They have a pretty good understanding. Tammy, can you send this out in the email also, just in case people don't write it down or we get it wrong? It's just spiritualgiftstest.com. You'll log in, create an account, take the test. It'll send you back your spiritual gifts. And then we want you to share that with... I'm getting ahead of myself now. Here's what we want to do. Once you've taken this strengths test, and once you've taken the spiritual gifts test, we really want to be able to have a powwow with you. We want to get together and sit down and talk to you about it, just to help you understand what this means. And in that meeting, listen, we're just going to have a team put together to meet. And you know, now it's going to be a little difficult because we have so many that have never done this. But when we have two or three people going through this at once, it'll be much easier. We're going to help you. We're going to offer suggestions as to where someone with your gifts or your strengths might be most effective in ministry. We're not going to tell you where you have to serve. We're going to give opportunities for you to say, hey, wow, I'm this and I'm this. I have this spiritual gift. We really think you should work, or we think you'd fit in this area. But another thing with that is this idea of passion. Okay? And I don't have a slide for that, but this is something you have to determine on your own. Let me give you just a quick example. For instance, if you take the spiritual gifts test, or if you take the strengths test and you find out you have the gift of communication, then you take the spiritual gifts test and you find out you have the spiritual gift of teaching, but you can't stand kids. You have a passion instead to teach college students. Well, then it'd be really dumb for us to put you with kids because you have no passion for teaching kids, right? You have passion for teaching college students. That's what I mean by passion, right? And there's nothing right or wrong about your passion. It's just how, again, it's how God wired you. And that's something you need to determine just between you and God. You pray and you say, God, you know, I really think I'm passionate about this area. Is this true of me? Is this really where I need to fit? So, listen, those three things working together should help you narrow down the place where you'd fit and where you could, as our goal for you would be, to say at the end of a ministry experience, wow, I was made for that. And I think if we can figure out these strengths, we can figure out your spiritual gifts, we can figure out your passions and put you in that place, I believe it can happen. I believe you can say, wow, I was made for this. So, I think, aside from me, and obviously I don't know everyone else and what they feel or what they believe, but I think probably one of the people that is closer to say that than anybody else, is Kathy Pierberg, who is in exactly the position, after years of not knowing where we should put her, not that we just put her there, but she's made for what she's doing. This is her passion. This is her place. And you can see by the fact that she's in the right place that she becomes more effective in ministry than anyone else we could have put there, because maybe other people could have done a journeyman's job and they would have been okay. But because we have the right person in the right place, the ministry becomes effective. So, all that to say this. You'll need to talk to Roderick or me or John Brewer about the next step with this. The first step is to get the book if you've not done the strengths test yet. If we run out of books, we'll get more. Every person has to have their own book because there's only one key, one code per book for everyone to take this, for you to take this test online. You have to have that code. So everyone has to have their own book. The second thing is to go to spiritualgiftstest.com and take that test. And then I think probably get us that information as well. And then we're going to set up some time with you where we can just sit down and in kind of a smaller group setting and just discuss this together. And really, it's just really about trying to help you discover who you are and who God's made you to be. So that's our commitment. And we really want to be effective in it. The fifth thing we're going to do is we're going to encourage you to be part of a small group. Now, the values affirmed in that are God's Word, diversity, relationships, discipleship. Listen, small groups are not just Bible studies. If they become that, then probably they're not exactly what they ought to be. But small groups are about Bible study, about prayer, about fellowship, about breaking bread together, about serving together, about doing life together, about being in relationship together. And do we always get that right? No, we don't. Is that always what happens? Not necessarily. But it won't happen at all unless we attempt it. Right? It doesn't happen at all unless we attempt it. So we're attempting it. We have right now five groups that are meeting. And next week, I'm going to hand out a card that will give you the names and addresses of the place they meet, the times they meet, and... Listen, here's another thing, too. This may be difficult for us to do all the time, but while we're still small, it's probably okay. Is that if you need something very specific or unique, or you need a time that's really odd, and you can't meet at any other time that any groups are meeting, or you need something more a specific focus, we're going to do our best to accommodate it, right? Listen, if you... if you're a crack addict I'm not going to add other adjectives. I'm just saying, listen, if there's something specific about you that no one else knows and you really need some kind of, I don't know, support or some kind of whatever, we'll do whatever we can to accommodate you. Listen, the important thing is that you're in fellowship with other believers, that you're in relationship with other believers, and we're going to ask you to be a part of a small group. The last thing we're going to do is we're going to ask you to give. Okay? Now, if you've been here for a while, as many of you have, or if you're fairly new to us, you know that we don't talk about money very often. And the reason we don't talk about money is because we don't have to. Because as leaders and as members of the Crossing, you guys are good givers. You're generous. sometimes that means we don't give you an understanding biblically of what we believe to be responsible stewardship. And probably that's the bad thing. Probably we should teach on it at least occasionally just to give you an understanding of where we're coming from. But I'm just going to tell you that many of our leaders here and many of our people here are generous givers. We don't need to say much. We believe that one of the hallmarks and marks of a healthy believer is that they give of their resources. And many of the people and leaders here practice what we consider to be a very biblical standard of giving, and that's the tithe, where they give 10% of their income to the church, and then over and above that, they may give more to our faith promise offering, as we've seen in this past year. It's interesting that we committed last year a little over $30,000 to the faith promise, and yet our general fund giving hasn't been affected by that, which is awesome, which is amazing. And so that's what we believe biblically about giving. And we don't make an apology to ask you to give. Everything in ministry costs money. If we want to reach people for Christ, if we want to do any kind of ministry at all, it's costly. And so we don't make an apology. And unfortunately, probably because of the fact that you give so well, we don't teach as often as we should. So, to summarize, here's the things we're going to ask you if you decide. And again, this wording is different for in the future. Many of you have already committed. But if you have committed here to the crossing, or if you commit in the future, we're going to ask you to serve. We're going to ask you to build and treasure relationships. We're going to ask you to, and we're going to provide you a path toward involvement. We're going to help you discover your shape. We're going to encourage you to be part of a small group, and we're going to ask you to give. So, that's the introduction to the church. That's the introduction to where we're going to head from here. Now, seriously, this is what we're going to do for new people, but this is what we're doing right now for us, since we have never done this before, and since we've been talking about strength and spiritual gifts and stuff for years. Really, the next steps need to be in that area for all of us, okay? So really be diligent about this. If you've not taken the spiritual gifts test or the strengths test, get that book, take the test. If you've not taken a spiritual gifts test, or if you have and it was years ago and you can't remember, or maybe, you know, I believe at certain times and certain seasons, God gifts people in different ways to bring about the ministry that he wants and that he desires. So I'd encourage you to go to spiritualgiftstest.com and take that test, bring those results, then talk to me, John, Roderick, Chad. We're going to set up a time where we can get together in small groups and talk about this together and help you discover who you are and who God's made you to be. So, thank you. How did I do? Did I beat Chad? Oh, hands down. Yeah, way better than Chad as far as time. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the way that you lead us and the way that you guide us. And we're thankful that after all these years, perhaps we're providing a tool to help people understand what we're about here at the crossing, but also understand a way that they can become involved. And the fact that you've designed and uniquely made each of us to fit in a certain place at a certain time to do a certain ministry, and that we could come to the end of that ministry, we could really believe that this is who you made us to be and what you made us to do. So, over these next weeks, I pray that you'd give us motivation to figure out, to take these tests, to figure out who we are, and then to come together, discuss these, and figure out a place where we would uniquely fit here at the Crossing. In all of that, our goal is to honor and glorify you, that you would be lifted up, that you would be glorified. This is how you made us. This isn't how we made ourselves. This is how you made us. You gave us these strengths. You gifted us these spiritual gifts so that when we use these things and really become in that fulfilled because this is how you made us to be, that you receive all the glory because this is your work. It's your work on display. We just want to honor you with our lives. We want to honor you through our church. We want to honor you with our giving. We want to honor you with the way that we build relationships. We want to honor you with all of these things that we've talked about this morning. I pray that you'd receive that from us over these next weeks and months. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So really, I encourage you to go back and listen to at least the portion of Chad's teaching last week that's online. It'll just be important. It's probably nothing, or many of the things aren't things that you don't already know, but I think it would help you to know, okay, this is what everyone that comes to the crossing is going to hear, and at least then you'll understand what's going on. So anyway, thank you. Have a good week.